First of all, for your patience and diligence in being on the call, we will be starting at 5 after the hour sharp. Okay, we're at 6 minutes after the hour, 10 a.m. in Singapore, I believe 9 p.m. in Eastern Time, and that makes it 6 p.m. Pacific. So thank you to all who are joining the meeting. My name is Evan Leibovich. I am acting chair in the absence of Garth Bruin, who could not make it. And so myself, Judith Hellerstein, is acting secretary, and so we will be running this meeting together with four people from at-large staff. I'm very impressed and gratified, so thank you all. In taking a role, here present at the meeting is Glenn McKnight, Alan Greenberg, Eduardo Diaz, Louis Uhl, and Ron Sherwood, who is actually with the CCNSO, is actually here, and he's going to be on the agenda briefly. From staff is Heidi, Gisela, Sylvia and Ariel. And so is anybody who is either on Adobe Connect or in the Adigo Bridge, could you please identify yourselves? Is anyone in Adigo? Okay.
Kevin, it's Gordon Chilcott. I'm here.
Hi, Gordon.
North America at large.
Okay. You may need to speak up. You're coming in very low on the speakers here. We can hear you, but just barely.
Okay. How's that, Evan?
Okay. Thanks. Is there anybody else on Adigo besides Gordon? And is there anybody else in Adobe Connect? I don't have a screen in front of me. Okay. Okay. Ariel, could you read that into the record? Thanks.
This is Ariel for the record. We have several other remote participants on the Adobe Connect. There are Anthony Nigani, Doris Mart, Gordon Chilcott, and representative from Remote Hub ACU at Columbia, and one more person. It's Jolie McPhee.
Okay, thanks to everybody who's participating, especially our friends back on in North America where it's dark. So thank you for coming in here. Okay, and also we're joined by Chris Mondini from ICANN, who's not here to make a presentation but may have something to say as we go along. The agenda is actually fairly flexible. There's a couple of things that have come up through this week, so I'm going to verbally talk about the agenda that I'd like, and then we can add other items afterwards as they come up or if anyone has other business. So the ones that I have, the ones that we want to talk about at this point is basically an update on the General Assembly proposal. Is Garth online? Okay. I want to briefly call attention to Garth's policy initiative. We need to talk about Naralo elections coming up, and we're going to have a brief presentation from Ron on a new ALS coming in. Does anybody here or on the call or online have anything else they would like to add to that agenda? Okay, hearing nothing, we'll move on. Okay, the first issue, just an update on the General Assembly. As you know, Naralo put in an application to the Budget and Finance Subcommittee to propose to have a General Assembly to take place alongside the ARIN meeting in Montreal in early October. It's my understanding that the reception to that has been very positive, both that it was worded well in such a way that made it easy to accept, and also there's certain people, notably Ray Balzac from the ICANN board, who've noted they've constantly wanted to have more communications and relationships between at-large structures and regions and the local RARs around the world. And so for this reason, it seems like there's going to be a good reception for the GA proposal. That doesn't guarantee it's going to be accepted, but I think it has a strong possibility here. Alan, go ahead.
Just noting that Ray's origins, how he got into this business, was previously running ARIN, so he has a slight personal interest.
Okay. And the fact that it coincides that this is the year and that Naralo has a formal relationship with ARIN for the first time. The MOU was signed on Sunday. That went very well. We will hopefully be making a PDF version of that that can be circulated by email to the Naralo list. And actually the original of that is being passed around at the table here. And I think it's a bit of an achievement. As a matter of fact, there is at least one other Rallo that has approached me because they've been having some difficulties doing their own MOU. So we may, in fact, be providing some guidance to another Rallo. One thing to note about this MOU is it is not very heavy on details. It's not very heavy on obligations. We have a mutual trust relationship to establish, and the relationship between us and Aaron is basically as good as we make it. So there's not a lot of obligations in that MOU. That was deliberate. Our goal is to have some good relationships, to establish mutual trust, and then take it from there. Any questions at this point about either the General Assembly or the MOU with Aaron? Glenn, go ahead.
I think it's amiss, Evan, you don't mention that you will be attending Aaron as part of the N10, part of the crop outreach.
That is correct. I've been approved through the crop program, so it's an outreach event as well, and the outreach, of course, being creating relationships with Aaron and its stakeholders, that I'll be at the Aaron meeting in San Francisco in April with the full knowledge and blessing. So hopefully we'll be meeting people and starting to set that up. What I really want to do, though, is through the General Assembly, is to expose the ALSs within Norello to, in fact, a very different model of stakeholder relations that exists within the Aaron meeting. So that's really what I'm hoping for, and one of the things I hope to get out of if the GA concept is approved. Glenn, you have more?
Yeah, just one other thing is, I mentioned this a couple of years ago, Aaron has a fellowship for each of their locations. They take one person per region, so one from Canada, one from the United States, and one from the Caribbean. Their geography is slightly different than ICANN's, but I strongly encourage it. Susan Hamlin is here. She's very, very interested in any Norello application. So there is some opportunities. They have meetings three times a year.
Okay. Thanks. Any other comments on either the GA or on the Aaron relationship? Okay. Heidi informs me that the link to the GA information has been put into the Adobe Connect room for anybody that needs the link. Okay, thanks. Moving on from there. Although these aren't specific things for Norello, I just wanted to note that at the Singapore meeting, our people have had a very, very active role in a number of at-large initiatives. Norello is heavily, arguably predominantly represented within things like the Technology Task Force. Our initiatives within the Accessibility Group are significant. Would anybody in either of those groups like to talk about, even briefly, about your activities in there? Glenn, go ahead.
I'll talk about the Technical Task Force, and I'll ask Judith to carry on with it, because we're both sitting on that committee. We had a great meeting this morning. We have an extensive slideshow that we'll share with you. I think Norello's very well represented in the Technical Task Force. There's Olivier does attend, one of the only Norello ones, and we hope to encourage more from Norello to participate. But I think we've made some really good strides. We do a lot of calls, but if you're interested in our achievements, I think we summarize it well with our slideshow.
Okay, thanks. Judith, did you have something to add?
Yes, hi, it's Judith Hellestein for the record. So we also were going to be in combination with the Technology Task Force and in the Accessibility Committee, we're going to be putting in a special request to run a pilot program on captioning with the aim not only for the accessibility but also to increase engagement with different regions where bandwidth is a problem. And so we've gotten a lot of feedback from different regions of that that they really want to increase their engagement but have trouble because of bandwidth issues, and as well as English on working group meetings. So that's what the request will cover. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Judith. Does anybody want to talk about the accessibility working group and our activities there? Okay. Seeing nothing, we move on. Ariel, could you please put up on the Adobe Connect the PDF that was sent out by Garth some time back? He's not here to speak to it, but I just want to call it to everybody's attention. This is a policy initiative that Garth put forward regarding compliance, especially with a proposal to essentially take some of the compliance functions and bring them outside of ICANN itself as an independent body. That proposal, I think, needs a significant amount of discussion within NARALA before we can move forward to ALAC for consideration, both as a matter of substance and as a matter of tactics. But we do need to consider it. It's extremely well thought out, and I think we need to give it appropriate comment. I'm hesitant to talk about it here at this meeting without Garth here actually to champion it. Is there anybody that wants to say anything about it? Alan, do you want to talk about it from the ALAC perspective?
No, I don't think so. I think when it comes to the ALAC will deal with it as such. In the substantive NARALA discussion, I will have some thoughts on putting something forward which would be effective.
Okay. And in my comments on the mailing list to Garth, I said there's two issues. First of all, the substance of it is one thing, but the tone in which it's presented, I think, needs a lot of work in order to be presentable as advice if our goal is to affect change rather than just make noise. Alan, go ahead.
I certainly can't disagree with that. The other issue, there's a lot of what I would call, and it's not a derogatory comment, but ancient history in it. And to the extent that should be presented, and I know Garth feels strongly that it should be in an appendix and things like that. And, things done under different regimes with different staff really cannot be attributed to the people who are in place now. So I think we need to be a little bit careful that we don't end up presenting something that gets ignored because there's arguments saying it's not relevant to today's situation.
Understood. That it needs some work, and like I say, without Garth here to defend it or discuss it, I'm really kind of hesitant to bring it up to substantial discussion here. So we'll take that to the mailing list and see if, you know, what needs to be done before that can be brought, as far as I'm concerned, to ALAC for its consideration. Any other comments on that from either anyone in the room or anyone online before we move on? Okay, thanks. Ron Sherwood, would you like to talk to us a little bit about the what might be our newest ALS application coming up?
Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Good. Yes, I am in a bit of a unique situation.
Sorry, could you just introduce yourselves to the people in the room?
I'm sorry, yes. My name is Ron Sherwood. I am the CCNSO liaison to ALAC and have been a part of ICANN business for a long, long time. I am now in a unique situation. I operate .vi in the Virgin Islands. I have residence and address in North America in Bellevue, Washington State, but I'm actually based most of the time in Panama, in the Chiriquí province of Panama in the northwestern edge in the mountains. And it's that area that I'd like to discuss, if possible, because there is a very keen interest in ALAC and the possibility of forming an ALS there. The people involved, actually, are a group of... There are two groups involved at that point. There is a group of expats, people that have retired, like me, to an area where it's very beautiful, where there are wonderful people, where it's very inexpensive, and where we can actually afford to live in retirement. And then there's another group of internet-based people who have internet-based employment that can, in fact, work from anywhere in the world and choose that place. But both of those groups are primarily English-speaking. They are not always, frequently not at all, bilingual. And both groups would like to form an ALS, or even two ALSs, that are geographically located in Panama, but really want to be a part of North America and the English-speaking ALAC region. And I would love to hear what possibilities are.
So This is Evan speaking. Ron and I have had this conversation before, and in terms of a matter of if there is a notable American presence that can be established, if these are in, so, there's two things. One of which is coming in as individuals, which is absolutely allowed through NARALO to American citizens. But if they are planning to create an ALS, that ALS would be an organization. That organization would have to have a home somewhere. If that home is Panama, then they are logically within LACRALO. So the last thing I want to do is start to engage in battles here. So just as a matter of information, it sounds like there's a number of individuals there that have a choice, the equivalent of dual citizenship, if you would, and would choose and want to make a choice of one or the other. I'm honored and flattered that they want to be part of NARALO, but at the same time, I also don't want to get into turf wars. So what I'm going to suggest at this point is if they want to create an ALS, the ALS must be based within our geography. If they create an ALS that is organizationally based in Panama, we're going to run into problems. So there's two options. As individuals, they're all welcome to join. If they're American citizens or if they have an American presence, then they qualify, and we would welcome them because we have in our own charter the ability to have individual members. If their goal is to create an ALS, that ALS has to have its home in this geography for the ALS itself to be considered for NARALO. Otherwise, we're going to run into problems. I don't know how this is going to work with the people you're talking about. Judith, you have your hand up.
Yes, this is Judith Hellestine for the record. There's also, you may want to tell them to look at the ALSs that are around, and some of them may be open to having individuals join them depending on the bylaws of that particular ALS. I know in my ALS, ours was geared to people who had lived or worked in the D.C. area at some time and still have connections in that area with colleagues. And so they are welcome to join us if they've lived and worked in the D.C. area. Other ALSs may also have similar bylaws in their bylaws and welcoming others. So that could be another possibility.
Ron, did you have any comments or questions based on... Oh, Alan, I saw a finger up. I didn't know if that meant you wanted to talk. Ron, I don't know if you've got any follow-up questions or anything like that, but yes. I think that advice might be well taken in the sense that if they want to create an ALS, that ALS itself is going to have to be housed in the North American region for this to be a NARALO ALS. If they want to join as individuals, that's a different story, and I think there's not going to be a problem. But if they want to join as an ALS, and the ALS is based in Central America, that's LACRALO.
I understand. This is Ron speaking. You used the word citizens. They're all U.S. citizens or Canadian citizens. In other words, they're North American citizens. Their location is one of choice and frequently is sort of 50% in Latin America and 50% in North America. You say the ALS must be based. An ALS is not necessarily a registered entity anywhere, is it? So all it is a group of people deciding where they're from or where they want to be from. So what is wrong with a group of expats who are part of the time or even most of the time in another area, but part of an English-speaking group, locating their ALS in North America and using it even when they're not there?
I have Ellen in the queue, but I just want to ask if there's anyone on staff who's more knowledgeable on the specific criteria can tell me if there's a need for a geographic location for an ALS itself. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm not staff, but I have a moderate amount of knowledge. The specific bylaw, and I'm not talking about an at-large rule, but the bylaw says The criteria and standards for the certification of at-large structures shall be established in such a way that participation by individual end users who are citizens or residents of countries within the geographic region will predominate in any and so forth. The way I read that is if we have an ALS of U.S. or Canadian citizens predominating, then it could well be a North American ALS. On the other hand, I think if we were to want to think of doing such a thing, we need to start discussions early with Latin America and make it... We don't want turf wars. So technically it may well be legal. Whether we can finesse it so that we don't have ill will is not at all clear, and I think we need to look at this very, very carefully.
Judith, go ahead.
This is Judith Helsing, for the record. One idea might be, since I'm thinking out of the box, is that possibly if they said they spend half the time in the U.S., is maybe having one person set up a mailing address in the U.S., and then that way we could say it's a U.S.-based one and not have that turf war and trying to think out of the box there.
Okay. I have Alan and Ron back in the queue, but Judith, I would think right now, because they're citizens, regardless of how much percent they spend in one place or another, by virtue of being citizens of the U.S. and Canada, I think we've already made that requirement.
Right.
I have Alan first and then Ron.
I tried to make it clear. I believe the rules allow it. Now it's how can we do it without establishing enemies, turf wars, or ill will, and that's not a technicality of a mailing address. That's let's start talking about it and do it in a controlled way with some finesse.
Okay, I have Ron and then Eduardo.
I concur with what Alan just said. I wouldn't want to cause any trouble at all. And I think if it can be organized with goodwill alongside the Latin American region, that would be absolutely perfect.
Eduardo, go ahead.
I was going to say, then, let's put an action item and see if we can talk to the Lacraro... officers, my impression is they won't have a problem of having a
before Heidi, I was simply going to say, take away as an action item that I would myself get involved and contact my counterpart in Lacraro and see if the two of us between us can just come to an understanding so that there's no surprises, that this is done with full awareness and consent before. Before the ALS application happens, so nobody is saying, where did this come from? So hopefully, as an action item, I'm fully prepared to take away that I will contact my counterpart in Lacraro and we'll try and to deal with it in that way. I have Heidi, and then Alan, and then Eduardo. Heidi, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Heidi for the record. I would like to have staff first have a thorough review of the Norello MOU operating principles and the bylaws to take a look at this, as well as perhaps just have a word with legal, just to make sure that everything is, what the parameters are for this, perhaps before we move ahead with speaking to Lacraro, just so we know what the rules are and the possibilities. Thank you.
Okay. I don't think that's a problem. I think what Alan has read seems fairly clear, but if it's a full clarification, then we can get that. Alan, you're next, and then Eduardo.
I would suggest two action items. The first, charging ALAC staff and the ALAC chair, if you don't mind, to look into the formal issues. The second action item, I would charge the Norello chair with initiating discussions. I would not be quite as specific as saying with your counterpart. That's it.
Okay, so I guess I'll have to track down the ALAC chair and see if he's amenable to that.
If you can find him, he might be amenable.
Okay, Eduardo, go ahead.
Yes, this is Eduardo for the record. I just wanted to mention that, you know, really, you know, when I look at an ALS, you know, and it's resident in a country other than being an American citizen, I think this use, they're creating these ALSs are creating, you know, where they are a resident to bring issues from that part of the globe into our mixture. So, you know, having an ALS from North America that does not live in North America, you know, the issues in Panama might be different. But again, I'm not against it. It just comes to my mind that that's part of the why we have these ALSs. Thank you.
Sorry, this is Evan. From what I'm hearing, it sounds like the issue, though, is not Panamanian problems, but from these ex-Americans and Canadians. So, for instance, there's an organization in Canada called the Canadian Snowbirds Association, and its entire membership is people that spend half the year going south in the winter. And so it's based in Canada, but its members spend most of their time outside Canada. So I'm just saying there's precedent for this kind of thing, and there's lots of reason to go south in the winter from parts of Canada. Alan.
Just for clarity, they don't spend most of their time outside of Canada, typically, because access to Canadian health care implies there's a certain residential requirement. So typically just a little less than half.
Yes, 49.9% of the time. Okay. Ron, you have the last word, then we'll move on.
Thank you. This is Ron. There are two groups involved. In fact, one of them are retirees, and the other is younger people who are employed in internet employment, which they can do from anywhere in the world, no matter where they are or where they travel to. The retirees are a very interested group and have approached me. They are there. They're part of 2,500 retirees in a small area in the mountains, 300 miles from Panama City. The other group is much smaller. It's only maybe 15 people, but they are internet-related because of their employment and very much want to be a part of ICANN.
Thank you. I think the final word is that if they want to get involved in ICANN and at large, I want to do whatever we can to make it to facilitate their trip in, and as long as it's within the rules that we're capable of doing, and as long as we're making peace. Alan, you have the final word on this.
Okay. Just in line with the discussions that we're having in At Large and ALAC on ensuring that ALSs actually have a nexus point with ICANN as opposed to with the Internet, it's going to be an interesting discussion why these people want to be affiliated with ICANN as opposed to simply wanting some tie. So it's interesting going forward.
I will take that offline very happily.
Is there anybody who is online with us who has any comments or questions right now before we move on? I can't see the hand. My eyes aren't good enough
Anthony,
to see.
Anthony, can we discuss?
Okay, Anthony, I see you've made a request about an update on the mentorship program. We'll have that under any other business. That's not really related to this. We'll take it up, but not right at this moment.
Oh,
Anthony, you see a connection. Would you like to make a comment? Go ahead. Anthony, are you okay? Do you have audio, Anthony?
He's not on voice.
He's not on the Vigo. Tell me he needs to join the Vigo.
Okay. Can somebody from staff read out what he's typed in, please?
I'm not on voice.
This is Sarah for the record. Anthony's comment is, Evan, can we have a quick discussion about the Indigenous Mentorship Program, Narelo's next steps?
Okay, Anthony said that he'll be calling in, so I'll put this towards any other business at the end of the call. By that time, Anthony will have joined us, and we can deal with a proper discussion of that. Okay, so moving on from that, the last thing I have on my plate here is to talk about Narelo elections. So we need to start thinking about putting into place the mechanisms for doing an election. So based on my understanding of where things are at right now, Eduardo Diaz is our ALAC representative. He is term limited, so he cannot run for ALAC again. So we have an open spot for the ALAC position for North America for a two-year term. We have for chair and secretariat, these are both one-year terms, so they always come up for renewal. And the Naralo appointment to the nominating committee also has to happen. That's for a one-year term. Louis, are you eligible to run again?
No.
For the NomCom, no.
Okay, so we need to have a fresh person into the NomCom, we need a fresh person into the ALAC, and we have elections for chair and secretariat. Glenn, go ahead.
Maybe Louis can address this. Louis, wasn't one of the recommendations that NomCom would be a two-year term? Has that been implemented?
Yes, the recommendation would be a two-year term, but the decision has not been made yet, so it's not confirmed. But you know that one way or another, if you want to be productive, you absolutely need 1 year to know about the job. So it would be logical for us to consider somebody who would be available for at least 2 years.
Okay, I have Alan in the queue. Go ahead.
Thank you. On the recommendations, the comment period was reopened or extended, and it just ended at the end of January. We're not going to see any changes immediately, and the original report was quite silent on transition rules to say, you know, how do you treat people who have already had 2 years, and if the new rules allow three, how do you handle that? So it's not at all clear. It's certainly not going to happen in the next couple of months. It could conceivably happen before the next NomCom needs to be selected. Could, but not highly likely. So that's one point. If you attended the high-interest topic session on Monday, part of it was how do we get good volunteers? How do we get people to be actually contributors? And we have a situation which is true for a number of people in this room. We just identified two of them. Dedicated volunteers who have put a fair amount of work in, have at least on occasion delivered results, and then they're term limited, and we say, sayonara. You know, to some extent, we rotate positions and are accused of only opening them to insiders, and as long as the original people want to still keep on rotating, and we don't want to insult our friends, our elections very much have to do with who do we not want to insult. And that perhaps is not the best way to choose our leaders and our representatives. But nevertheless, there's a real problem with how do you keep people engaged in a group like At Large where they don't have a company paying travel and staying engaged just by participating in conference calls periodically. People tend to drift off. So I think we have a real problem. I think we need to raise it with ALAC, and I think ALAC needs to raise it farther.
Okay. Well, since all three of our ALAC representatives are in the room, I think you all now, I don't know if this is in a situation of an action item for our ALAC representatives to actually take to ALAC to raise this. I'm assuming since you're all here, do we need to put this in a formal action item, or can just the three of you take it under advisement? Eduardo, go ahead.
I'm sure I got lost in some of the what we need to bring to the ALAC. Can you repeat that? Thank you.
Alan, please clarify.
The issue is people who we complain that it's hard getting people to commit themselves to work. We toss away very often the people who are term limited because we cannot keep them involved. I think that is a problem. I'm not proposing the solution, but I think it's a problem. And yes, I think a formal statement of Naralo is something that we should pass forward and then the ALAC take formal action on it. And I wear multiple hats here. So, but I think it's an issue that needs to be raised with ICANN. And this is as good a place to start as any.
Before I give the mic to Eduardo, Alan, is there a way that you could take your comments, essentially gel them into a piece of email into the Naralo mailing list, and let us use that to start as a discussion point?
I will add it to my to-do list, and I would suggest an action item.
Okay, so we have an action item that Alan will draft a small summary of his comments here. We will put that into the mailing list and use that to start a region-wide discussion on the topic, possibly to end in a future Norello meeting with consensus on something that we will then send to ALAC. Eduardo, go ahead.
So just to make myself clear, are we talking about here about eliminating terms, just to have two-year terms so people can come?
It's my understanding here that the first part of this is identifying the problem before we spend a lot of time on figuring out what the specific solution is going to be. Helen?
We can fix the problem with you by saying we don't have term limits. That's a Norello rule.
Alan, there's people online, they have no idea who you is.
Sorry. I was pointing at Eduardo. And we can fix problems that we have control over, but that doesn't address the issue of making Eduardo ALAC member for life. Does not address the issue of how do we get more people in. It just changes the name on the tag of who can't be involved. So it's a real generic problem for those of us who don't have independent funding. And I think we need to start the discussion. I don't know what the outcome is, and there may not be an outcome, but I think we need to start the discussion.
Actually, with a little indulgence, this is a problem that is bigger than Norello and arguably bigger than ALAC. Since we have Chris Mondini in the room, would you have anything you'd like to say about keeping volunteers engaged, and how do you deal with things like term limits that are meant to bring fresh blood in, but at the same time have an opportunity to sort of shut out people that have experience and a desire to act? I know I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but this sounds like an issue that is beyond Norello and even ALAC.
Thank you. This is Chris Mondini. I'm happy to comment extemporaneously as a member of the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team. I and my colleagues have spent the greater part of the last 18 months to 2 years doing general awareness raising about ICANN, what it does, and its importance to various broadly defined stakeholder categories like business, academia, civil society, so forth. And we do have some indications that we've been successful in bringing new eyes, new people, really to the doorstep. And I think there are many people peering in. But yet, where the pathway to effective participation via belonging in a structure within the SOAC constellation is where really the trail goes cold. And so Sally Costerton, who leads global stakeholder engagement, has recently joined with David Olive, who leads, as you know, leads policy development, to really work on bridging the gap between being aware and knowledgeable about the importance of ICANN to your own particular interests or stake in the internet to effective, fulfilling participation, making an impact, and really increasing this sort of impact to cost ratio, overcoming hurdles to participation, and really examining the reasons why new people become attracted to the process. Now, as part of that, we've done some, in addition to trying to gather more data, and both anecdotal, qualitative and quantitative, on where ICANN leaders have come from, how they are considered mid-career ICANN people, what happens, for example, the day after a fellowship program for somebody ends. That's the beginning part of that, of looking at ICANN itself, but also in terms of good practice of how communities are defined, maintained, and sustained. And we find that within communities there needs to be that are healthy. And actually, I think if you look at something like the CROP program, that's a little bit ahead of its time, and that I think That's an area where we've closed the gap. We've brought some resource that's very targeted to particular outcomes. And I think there might be other ways to do something similar to create a pipeline of talent so that you can almost see sort of generationally how people start out from day one and end up in leadership positions like you, and see that in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, there will be still a healthy, sustainable leadership of these structures and a growing and vibrant community. So this is just a little bit of a... I'm heartened that in almost every public session that I've dropped into, from the GNSO Council to the high interest topic session to even the board's technical expert group session, that the issue, not just of outreach, but also cultivation and support for participation, has been raised. So I think it's very much on the minds of across the ICANN structures. So you can really take a leadership role in getting out in front in identifying what some of those barriers are to having a healthy pipeline and generations of participants.
Okay, in the queue I have Alan, and then I have Louis. Alan, go ahead.
Just a very quick comment that, just for the record, this will not have been the first time this issue came up at this meeting. It's about the third time that I've been involved in a discussion about it, so it's timely.
And even before that, Chris, I think I've seen an email that you sent to the SOAC leaders, and you used the term inreach, which is actually something that has been in our lingo for a while, which can be as much of a challenge, if not more, than outreach. It's one thing to bring people in. It's another thing to keep them engaged once they're here. Louis, go ahead.
Yes, Louis Hull, for the record. And I would like to add that to that, the actual mechanism, if I take a look at it from outside ICANN, is very expensive to achieve what we have to achieve right now. Having new people, it's always having to go through the same things, training, and year after year, and there's a cost related to that. So I think that there's somewhere a better balance that we have to try to reach.
Okay, thanks. Before we move on, is there any further discussion from anyone who is online, either in Adobe Connect or in Adigo? Okay, that was not the sound of a contributor, that was the sound of a coffee machine. Okay, so one action item of this is I'm asking staff to start to put the mechanisms in place for holding the election. We do not have quite the same time constraints as some of the other regions, because the NomCom will not be picking a person for at-large for North American region for this year. So we don't have to have a situation where we hold our elections before the NomCom makes its choice. It's a nice to have, but we're not necessarily constrained by the same dates, because the NomCom doesn't have to care who we pick for ALAC, because they're not choosing somebody for ALAC this year for North America. Alan.
You're completely correct, but to the extent that we can do it and make it easy on staff to not have efforts that are not synchronized, the better.
I thought it would be easier not to have everything happening at the same time.
If staff would like to suggest that as an easier path, I'm happy with it too.
Heidi, go ahead.
This is Heidi for the record. I think if we could work to schedule all of the RALOs and the ALACs so we know what we have coming down the pipeline, then we will come back to you with the determination of that.
Okay. So having said that, an action item then is putting in place, putting out the notices. I think I've identified correctly the positions that are open and the ones that must be refilled because of term limits, and the discussions about inreach and the effective term limits on that we obviously need to take forward. Okay, so the last thing right now, that's all that I had on my original agenda. Under any other business, we have the comment from Tony from before about the mentorship program. Is there anybody else that has any other business to add? I have Louis and then Eduardo.
Just wanted to mention that I sent you guys the talking about the NOMCOM, the December-January report card. Thank you.
Thank you. Eduardo.
Yes, I was thinking, I chat with Glenn, you know, not for a while, but a couple of minutes, about the suggestion of putting together a Narralo newsletter. I have seen this happening in Europe every month. It comes out, and what they do is, I think it's ISOC or Narralo, I mean, I get it. And what they do is they get information from their different organizations of what they're doing, and they just put them together, and they just send it around to everyone. And the idea with this is, you know, the reason I'm suggesting something like this is this thing about communication with our ALSs, you know, letting them know what we're doing, and ask them for information so we can distribute this information across the region. And I don't think it's a big thing to do, you know, if people provide information.
This sounds excellent, but you do realize what the immediate follow-up to that is.
I will take care of it.
Okay, yes, so sure. There we have the follow-up.
Yeah, I know it was all right. Coming, so.
Okay, so as an action item coming out of here, that Eduardo will coordinate a group from other people from Narralo with the intention of possibly putting together a newsletter that would go out and talk about our activities.
Fractions, but
you know, if we get translation, then yes.
Heidi, go ahead.
Thank you. This is an interesting initiative. Thank you, Eduardo.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, interesting initiative.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just wondering for the timeline. Would this be something that would be ready in time for the next ICANN public meeting in Buenos Aires, or would this a monthly newsletter?
If this is Eduardo, this is something easy to me to set up. And I will say yes for before the Buenos Aires. I will say this is something that we can do on a monthly basis, and I'm not thinking about generating content. It's just ask the ALS to send you information and put it together somehow. So when you do that, it's easier than if you have to sit and generate something around, you know.
Sorry, Heidi, go ahead.
Thank you, Evan. Just as a follow-up, this is Heidi for the record, as a follow-up on, in terms of distribution, would it be foreseen that this would be a print version or like a PDF?
PDF, electronic, totally.
Sorry, we've just introduced the idea now, so can I ask Eduardo and to bring together any community you'd like to and then work with staff in figuring out the distribution details? Okay, so if there's an expense issue, there's a fiscal year thing, but your group can take it offline. If possible, a PDF version might be enough. Judith, make it quick. We want to go to the last item.
Yes, this is Judith Hellstein for the record. Question for the newsletter, which I like the idea, is will you be doing the translation into Spanish and Louis doing in French, or are we going to have the added cost of getting it translated professionally?
I hate to intervene, but I want to move on to the next thing. That's sort of like an implementation detail. We've just come up with the idea right now. Let's take it offline, build the community, find out the distribution formats, and deal with translation issues as we've done it. We've literally just introduced the idea now.
No, I had a question about something else.
Okay. All right. But right now for the something else, I'm going to turn the mic over to Anthony, who is online. We want to deal with the issue. We have about 5 minutes left in the hour, and I don't want to ignore his issue about talking about the mentorship program. Anthony, are you with us by audio?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, the mic is yours.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely, okay. Go ahead. Absolutely, go ahead.
So I just wanted to get a quick update kind of from Heidi of where it's at, but I do know that Loris has submitted her application. My application for the internship program will be coming in within the next week. But just to find out, how far can this program reach? Is it specifically for the Narralo region, or do we want to, or as a priority, and then focus on a global community, or do you want to encapture both within the same program? So I'm not sure how much of the budget has been set aside for it in total, but is it something that is being considered at this point in time?
Okay, thanks. Heidi, go ahead.
Thank you, Anthony. This is Heidi for the record. Currently, it is a the proposal we have on the table is only for Native public media regarding North American Indigenous persons. During the meeting of the Finance and Budget Subcommittee we had earlier this week to review that, it was suggested that that should be a global mentoring program. So we are going to be working with other groups, for example, in New Zealand, in Australia. If you could send your document, we might, rather than having separate requests, we might incorporate yours into that. In terms of budget set aside, that there is no determination of that yet. So the process would work where you would we would submit that if it passes the FBSC, and then it would go into the internal process. And that will then determine how whether that program is accepted. So I hope that's answered your question.
Anthony, do you have any follow-ups?
No, thank you, Heidi. That answered my question. And this is Anthony for the record. Sorry about that.
So we've covered that off. Judith, did you have something else to add to any other business?
Yes, this is Judith Hellestein for the record. My question is relating to the crop. And I know your trip and Evan's and mine are pretty coming up quickly. And I'm wondering, we had the showcase of the new business cards, which I don't think we made any changes. I know we made changes to the page. Are we going to be using those at the event in March? Are we going to be using the old information? Is it going to be shipped to the hotel in Austin that you guys are staying in? A section also given to me that I can pick up that hotel? So those are those quick questions that I had on that.
Heidi, would you like to answer?
This is Heidi for the record. So please send staff a note exactly what you're looking for. We can probably send the Norello pop-up. I don't know how many of those business cards we have left. The outreach document that we previewed yesterday in the joint session of the outreach and regional secretariat meeting may be ready by then, but it would not be the Norello. It would only be the overall ALAC at-large one that we looked at yesterday. I do believe that we have a lot of Norello trifles left that we could ship in English, French, and Spanish.
Okay. So here we are. We are at the top of the hour, exactly on time, and we've covered all the any other business. So unless there is any last-minute things that will take us over time, does anyone have any last comments or questions, either from within the room or online? Going once, going twice. Okay, thank you very much. We are adjourned.